You have a line to the mayor of Kenosha here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're examining Kenosha's rebuilding process and the path forward for how the city will heal following the police shooting of Jacob Blake 3 weeks ago. His family led a protest march on Saturday in Milwaukee. Here's Jacob Blake's uncle, Justin Blake, at the rally speaking with WITI-TV.
We want justice. We want indictment. And we want a conviction now, not just for little Jake, for all the little Jakes around this country and around this world.
How do you want to see Kenosha respond and rebuild in the aftermath of this police shooting? Join in at 800-642-1234. John Anoramian is mayor of Kenosha. Mayor Anoramian, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, explain the plans you're laying out for Kenosha to form committees that will examine the issue of racism. Can you explain these committees?
Sure. First off, before we even get to committees, the first piece of what we're doing is, what we announced yesterday, our hearing sessions. So we are having hearing sessions over the next month so that people can come. We're working with the Department of Justice. They are going to help run the hearing sessions, of which case I and the chief or deputy chief will be there. And then the public will be able to come in and talk to us as to what they are seeing as the issues before the community. The first place, the first thing you have to do before you start trying to come up with different ways of changing things is to make sure that you understand what the changes that our people are looking for need to be.
What is the role of the Justice Department in these listening sessions?
They are going to manage the listening sessions, so they are going to run them, so that it is not the city that's running the listening sessions. It's Department of Justice, the community relations aspect of the Department of Justice out of Chicago.
How will these listening sessions be structured? I mean, how will people give input? Will there be questions asked? How do you run these?
The Department of Justice has put together a number of questions for people to respond to. And they'll be given a list of those questions, and people will be given an opportunity to talk on any one of the issues that they wish to speak on. And that is how we'll try to make sure that we can hone in on the different issues that we need to address. The material then will be put together. It'll also be done online, so people who may not be able to get to the meetings or are unable to speak at the meetings because we still have to deal with COVID and the process for that. We'll get that information. And then the committees that we are looking to form through the clergy, which has been a huge help in putting this together. In fact, they basically came on early prior to the Jacob Blake situation shooting. They came on early with the George Floyd issue. Once George Floyd was killed, the city, I approached the clergy and ask them to help. And so a couple of months ago, we started the process. So that is basically the concept that we've been following, working with the clergy, putting together a roadmap to action as to how we're going to do things. And that has been worked on now for a while. So that'll then be kicking in after the issue comes down to of dealing with the public meetings.
Who will be on these committees and what power will they have?
The committees will be a group that will be from all over. They'll be young, old, all walks of life, all racial issues or all different individuals. All of that will be put together. And the committees basically are going to be in the area of police and community relationships. The other areas will be employment, justice, and one of the areas that I think is a huge issue, of course, education, but one of the issues that I think is something that has to be looked at also is mental health and how this country is dealing with that issue also. So all those are areas that committees will be put together, those committees will start looking at what's going on. And I think it's important that when we look at what we're doing, that we don't look at this in the sense of, okay, we have these committees, they've come up with recommendations, the city has implemented a number of the recommendations, and now we're done. That is a mistake if we do that. What needs to happen is these committees need to continue continue on to continue to review and continue to look at what we're doing and how we're doing things. So I look at these committees as long-term committees, not short-term.
This is a continual process of reflection and action. I'm wondering, Mayor, when going back to mental health, you see as such a big issue, what do you mean by that?
I think when you look at what has occurred in the mental health area in this country, we have been, I think, two areas that really have been terribly funded and we just haven't done a good job on, has been mental health and our youth and our young people, making sure that they have a belief that there is a better life, that there is opportunity for them. And I think that the two areas that I think need to really be looked at, stressed on, is mental health issues in this country in general. Because I don't think we've just done a very good job in the sense of dealing with homeless and people with mental health issues, and just the whole process has not been handled well. And I think the other area that we've not handled well also goes off into the youth. But those are issues that I think are important that we also have to look at. Right now, the issue before us is going to be dealing with racism and how racism impacts your community. And racism impacts all these things.
We're talking with John Antaramian, who is the mayor of Kenosha. We're talking about the city's plans to rebuild and heal after the unrest sparked by the police shooting of Jacob Blake last month. You can join in with your questions. What do you want to ask the mayor of Kenosha? Do you live in the city? Is the city doing enough to address what has happened there? We're at 800-642-1234. Mayor, as you form this roadmap, the word that you've used there, and work through these committees and work through their strategies, where are your milestones and benchmarks for how you're doing? How will you reflect on if you're actually making change?
I think the issue of making change, number one, is going to be what do the committees come up with as to modifications that we need to make, looking at training, looking at different aspects of what we're doing, and looking at those as benchmarks to start with. Long-term benchmarks really are how as a community we recover and how as a community we deal with the racial issues that we have. There's no, I don't know that you're going to say there's a specific benchmark that solves a problem. It doesn't. It's going to be a continuous changing of benchmarks. It's going to be a continuous changing of where we are and what we're doing. So can you look at, let's do law enforcement. Will you look at community relations with the police department? What do we do to make those changes? And the change, the benchmark really comes down to is, did we make the change? Are we seeing a better relationship between police and the community? When you look at benchmarks in the sense of whether mental health, did we actually succeed in providing, getting a hospital to actually open up a mental health facility in Kenosha? Those are benchmarks that we can shoot for and that we can then show and say, yes, we've accomplished certain things. But I think that really in the end becomes what it is. And as I tell everyone, in the end, there is the responsible party is me. So I look at this in the sense of what are we going to do to make Kenosha a better place and then start implementing things that come out of the committees.
Let's take a look at your damaged businesses and business owners saying they want to see action now. They want rebuilding to happen sooner than later. There's not time to talk and meetings. They need to start seeing the rebuilding process. What would you say to those business owners?
Well, there are a number of things that we've been pushing for. City immediately requested $30 million from the state and federal government, of which $1 million has now been sent from the state as loans. And they have been running that through, I believe, CABA, which is an economic development arm of the community. The president promised $4 million. We have not seen that yet. But when that comes through, hopefully, that will then also be given through CAPA, is my understanding. But part of that is waiting for that. The other part is that the city has been making requests to the state and federal government on a continuous basis to try to get the businesses some help as to what's going on. So everyone is pushing as to getting the state and feds to help out on this. Plus, we've been working with the DNR and others because when you have property that has to be removed, there's a number of DNR issues, and DNR has been very helpful with us and working with the community or working with the businesses to try to help them. But literally at this point in time, we're pushing for the state and federal government to help us with the finances to help these businesses rebuild. We're working on trying to get some insurance commissioner down here to talk to the individuals who are having any trouble with their insurance companies. So we're trying to do everything we can on that basis to move forward for the business community.
Do you see any timelines there for getting these funds from the state and the feds? What have they told you?
Well, the state has came down very quickly, and my understanding, with their $1 million for the loans. The federal government, we're pushing on our congressman at this point in time to find out when those funds will be coming. There was $1 million, but the first $1 million that the feds are sending definitely dealt with other issues, not dealing with the economics. But again, we're pushing on the state and federal governments as hard as we can to get them to help out in this situation.
Will Kenosha businesses bounce back from this?
Yes, I think you'll find Kenosha not only will bounce back from this, but will bounce back stronger. I think that too often everyone looks at the negatives, and we have negatives. I'm not going to sit here and say everything's working perfectly. It's not. We have an issue. We have a problem, and we're going to have to deal with it. But as we deal with it, it's also important for us to understand this is a resilient community and a lot of really good people in this community. And the people in this community have done a good job in the sense of trying to support and rebuild, and that's everybody. So I'm looking at this from the perspective that we will come back, and we will come back stronger.
We have Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian discussing his city's plans to rebuild, to come back, confront systemic racism after the police shooting of Jacob Blake last month. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian. He announced efforts to rebuild the city, start community conversations around policing and criminal justice, employment, education, mental health, young people. But will these committee efforts, will they be able to get to the heart of the matter and the issues of racism? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in John now, joining us from Madison. Hi, John. What's your question?
Hi. My question for the mayor is, what freedom does a municipality like Kenosha have to change the structure of their police force? For an example, Britain's model is to have constables do things like ticketing and other nonviolent offenses, and then they have special forces that come in and work with more violent situations. What freedom does a city like Kenosha have to implement something like that?
Actually, cities have a fair amount of authority to determine how their policing occurs. So an example, there is a CSOs, I think they're called, in the city, which basically deal with ticketing and different types of activities that are within the community. But they are not, they don't do confrontational type of things or involvement in that, but just the general type of activity. So there's ways of doing different things. What you're talking about is a little more of a community policing concept with law enforcement. So the cities do have that ability to make those changes as to how they want to handle and manage their community.
John and Madison, thank you for the call. Mayor, you plan to work with the Common Council to budget for police training. What would this training look like? What's the plan there?
And actually, that's one of those things that what I've done is, as I put budgets together, which are happening now, I've added funds into training, but I've not specified how that training is going to be used. What I want to do is, as we go through the process and we do the reviews of our policies, procedures, what we're doing, that will then determine what funding, where that funding should go. You know, for me just to say we're going to put it here or here, then we're not listening to what people have to say. We need to make sure we have an understanding of perception. We also need to have an understanding of what it is we're actually, and what training we are doing now that maybe needs to be modified So that's what I'm doing, is putting the funds available, making sure the funds are available for that process. Can I just, there's one other area I really think I'm touching on, because I think it's important. Wisconsin changed its law a number of years ago dealing with investigation of these types of situations and shootings. And the way it sets up, because I think a lot of people seem to think that the city is investigating itself. It is not. Once a shooting occurs, it is transferred over to the state. And the state attorney general is the entity now that has control of the investigation. So the city of Kenosha does not do any investigation of their own. The state comes in. They are now doing the investigation. When the state is done with their investigation, they will turn over all the information to the district attorney. And then the district attorney will make filing charges, or whatever they're going to do comes from the district attorney's office. So the city is not involved in any of the investigation going on in the Jacob Blake shooting. And I just want to make sure that's out there, because I think a lot of people think that the community itself is doing the investigation, and we are not.
Attorney General Josh Collis said that he wants to make sure that the investigative process is transparent and that the public knows what is going on. How do you see in your role in the city and as mayor in improving transparency on what is going on in this investigation?
Well, that is difficult for us to do, because it really is in the attorney general's hand. We have no information on the investigation at all, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So I think Josh Paul is going to be the one who's going to have to make sure that any clarification, all the information, that whatever is going to come out will be coming out through them.
If you're just joining us, we have Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian with us as we look ahead at the city's next steps toward rebuilding, toward healing after the unrest that was sparked by the police shooting of Jacob Blake last month. Taking your calls, your questions for the mayor at 800-642-1234. Mayor, you're also planning to move up funding for body cameras to next year instead of 2022. What are you hoping to accomplish with that move?
Well, I think that a lot of people have been concerned about the timing of body cams and feeling that they need to be moved up. The council has informed me that they also believe that strongly. So what we're doing is we're moving up the time frame. There's still a couple things that we would like to see some modifications made from on the state level, but there are issues that prior to this were problematic in the sense of how long you had to keep tapes and everything else. So the state did make some modifications, which makes it easier, and that was part of why the city had been waiting for those modifications prior to moving up on body cams. So we will be doing the body cams next year. We'll be doing the increase in training, and there is some money that is going to be placed into the budget for some more community policing concepts and beat patrol type of things.
Why haven't body cams been worn sooner in Kenosha?
Well, partly because the state just changed the law about a year ago, dealing with timing and how long you can keep the tapes. There are some questions that have been raised about personal. Whenever you have body cams, the question comes down to is people's homes that police officers go into and the taping. And that all becomes public record. And so there are some issues that the cities have had concern about. The state did resolve some of those. And so that's why body cams are moving up at this point in time.
Let's bring in Hattie now in Madison. Hi, Hattie.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to ask, why are we doing all these or trying to do all these changes today? Did the mayor know what was going on before? Why didn't he take steps before we got to this point today?
Actually, that's a good question, and we did. We started the process prior to the situation occurring by bringing the clergy in after the George Floyd death, and we basically started working on it at that point in time because we saw what was going on in the community and other places. And we wanted to make sure that we got ahead of this whole situation in the sense of how we're going to deal with racism in the communities. So we attempted to get things started and literally did have things started down that road. So that was the intention. And we, as I said, have been working with the clergy. I have been meeting with the clergy basically for the last 4 years, every quarter. And so as the situation, the killing of George Floyd in Minnesota happened, I immediately pulled the clergy together and said, where do we go? How do we start to put together some things to look at what's going on in our community and what we can do to try to improve it? So we did attempt to get that started earlier.
What do the clergy members in Kenosha tell you today?
Well, we met if you saw the press conference the other day, the clergy was with me at the podium, and they basically are in favor of moving forward and working with the city to help work through our problems and working with the community. So I think that the clergy has been very helpful on that basis, and I appreciate all the hard work that they're doing to try to improve the community. And I feel very confident that they will be there through the whole process, and we will make change, and we will be a better community for it.
Mayor, in the last few seconds we have with you, what is keeping you up at night? What is the most difficult thing you have to grapple with right now?
The most difficult thing is you have one young man who's been shot, and again, we'll find out the information on that shortly as to from the state. I have two young men dead, and I have a third young man who is severely wounded. I think that keeps me up at night probably more than anything else.
Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
John Antaramian is the mayor of Kenosha. Just ahead, we talk with a law professor about a scenario in which President Trump refuses to accept the outcome of the November 3rd election. Would our country face a constitutional crisis? The book is called Will He Go? I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.